Thanks for listening to this highlight from The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. You can hear the full version of the show, as well as other past shows and highlights at myfaithradio.com. Under programs, click on The Exchange.
J.D., you wrote a book on the gospel, and I got to ask the question, you know, why? I mean, the gospel seems so simple, and yet you somehow stretched it to about 70,000 words to talk about the gospel. So why so complicated?
Yeah, my daughter, when she, one time, she asked me, I think she was like seven, what the thesis of the book was, and I told her, and she's like, that doesn't sound like a very long book. So basically, what it means to be centered on the gospel. Yeah. That's a new term that everybody uses.
Like gospel centrality, gospel-centered. Yeah.
That's right. People don't exactly... It just means all the gospel is important to us. Yeah. It's the idea that the gospel is not just the diving board off of which you jump into the pool of Christianity. Right. The gospel is the pool itself. And what that means is that most evangelicals, most Christians, think the gospel is like a prayer that you pray to begin the Christian life. Yeah. Whereas in Scripture, especially the letters of Paul, you see that every dimension of spiritual growth grows out of a greater sense of wonder and awareness and amazement at what God has done for you in the gospel. So the deeper you go in the gospel, the more alive you become in the Spirit. And it just, you know, everything starts with that. It's a sense of wonder. So essentially the book Gospel is trying to unpack that, which probably doesn't take that long, but then saying, let's begin to apply it to all these different areas of your life, from your relationships. What does it look like to love your spouse? In light of how Jesus loved you? What's it like to look like to forgive your spouse? What does it look like to use your talents and your treasures in light of what Jesus did for you?
We had Danny Ortlund on the show, and she talked about gospel-centered marriages. And so these continuing applications. My friend Joe Thorne's written a book, you know, preaching the gospel to yourself. And so what is... Okay, so we I think we would agree, and most of our listeners would agree, that, you know, Jesus died on the cross for our sin in our place. We received by grace and through faith new and eternal life. That's the gospel. But talk about some of the applications of the gospel to, say, community. What does gospel-centered community look like?
Well, okay, so the tendency of people in community is to pull away from it, turn inward.
Yeah.
And we begin to say, okay, let me look at what I make and what I do, and let me build a small kind of fortified kingdom for myself. Whereas our Savior is one who, though he was rich, for our sake became poor, so we through his poverty might become rich. And so what you see is that people that understand that are, whether it's in a small group kind of circle of friends or whether it's on a larger scale, they are saying, let me use my positions of strength to supply your points of weakness in this relationship, or take it to the smallest community level, the family. You know, I referred to that a minute ago. My marriage was transformed in one thing. I'm not just saying this because I wrote the book, but it was the gospel.
Yeah.
A counselor, my wife and I were seeing after like 3 years of marriage, and there was the, you know, the friction.
Yeah.
And he said, he looked at me, I'll never forget this. He looks at me in the eyes. He says, your problem is you do not understand your marriage in light of the gospel.
Mm.
You've never applied it. He said, because you think of her, your wife, as the sinner who has sinned against you. He says, you need to begin to see yourself as first sinner against God, and only secondly sinned against. And you need to think about the forgiveness that God gave to you, and then you begin to treat her that way.
Mm.
And then it just, I mean, that one thing transformed our marriage because it meant that we established our love based on grace and not on laws. If I'm perfect and you have failed me, but it's, we've both failed each other and failed Jesus, and grace saturates the whole community.
And so that grace-driven is a gospel-centered attribute. A grace-driven marriage is a gospel-centered attribute. Okay, so when sometimes people talk about, you know, we all talk about words, right? I'm a popularizer of the word missional, and sometimes I hear people use it. I'm like, I don't think you know what that means. The great line from The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
But so with gospel-centered, and now, I mean, I just hear people randomly kind of put this on here, and sometimes people, it almost seems like they're replacing the word spirit-filled with gospel-centered. So what's the difference between, you know, a spirit-filled sort of approach, and is gospel-centered? Our mutual friend Terry Wax wrote an article once that sort of kind of got my attention, that are we saying gospel-centered when really we mean Holy Spirit at work? And so how does the Spirit work
well, you
in
know,
the gospel?
Trevin actually and I did a Bible study, Jesus Continued. It was off of a book that I wrote about the Holy Spirit. And one of the most surprising things to me in that book was that throughout the New Testament, especially in the letters of Paul, he switches out depth in the gospel and a life in the Spirit as if they're as if they're the same thing.
Interchangeability.
Like a classic one is Ephesians 3, where Paul, after explaining the gospel for three chapters, Paul says, I pray that you would know the height, the width, the breadth, and the depth of God's love. That's the gospel.
Yeah.
Because then you will be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yeah.
That's Spirit life.
Yeah.
So depth in the gospel is the root, and a life in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, is the fruit.
We hope you enjoy this highlight from The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. Listen for past editions of The Exchange anytime at myfaithradio.com. Under Programs, click The Exchange.